As we dive in here this morning, I just want to give a simple recognition, as it's been a while, and I don't think many of you have met my mother-in-law, Julie Gleason, but she is right over here with my family this weekend for Mother's Day. She flew in from Georgia, and she's with us just for a couple of days, and it's been almost a year already, so it's so honking good to have you back with us and be in our home. And so if you had not had a chance to meet the mother of my wife, Rebecca, then please make a moment to get to know her for a moment. Awesome. Well, as I've mentioned before, it is so good, and like Pastor John said, we are diving in and just getting after it today, so I want to invite you to open to the Gospel of John, chapter 12, I'm sorry, chapter 16, verses 12 through 15, and as you're opening your copy of God's Word, we are in the part where Jesus is giving his farewell message to his disciples. He's preparing them for the high cost of following him. He is wanting them to know that there's going to be an ongoing experience of persecution physically and personal toil that it will take on their faith, and it will be substantial. But Jesus said with assurance, assuring them that even though the pain is coming, the Spirit of truth, who is greater, will dwell within and sustain them. And so I want to invite you with me, please, to stand as we honor the reading of God's Word in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. Beginning again in verse 12, Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. And therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. So what is the role of the Spirit of truth? In your notes today, number one, the role of the Spirit of truth is to guide the people of God. Simply to guide the people of God. And so I want to unpack these two verses with you momentarily. That Jesus reminds his disciples how he has been with them. He has walked among them. He has been with different people groups, different parts of culture. And he said, you are about to go through an incredible experience. You got to get ready. So he's teaching them to think with conviction and then trust through action how they would apply what Jesus has taught them. And in these two verses, the Spirit of truth is what D.A. Carson states. He says that the one who says more than Jesus can say at the time, more than the disciples can bear during the days of Jesus' ministry. That the extra bits that the Holy Spirit provides after he is sent by Christ Jesus is dependent upon Jesus' death, burial, and exaltation. It's ultimately pointing to Jesus himself. Look at verse 12 with me. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Why would he say that? Was it disbelief? Was it lack of faith? No, it wasn't. He was dealing with the coming of the Holy Spirit that would indwell them, that would empower them, to give them hope, to give them assurance to know that they are Christ and his alone. Jesus is saying that there is much to download with you, much to take on, and the disciples were not able to receive any more spiritual truths at that time, that their hearts were unsettled for the concern of their own personal greatness in the kingdom of God, asking, well, Lord, where's my place? Where's my seat? Because if you're going away, what does that have to do with me, and how do I fit in the big picture of this? Their minds struggled to comprehend the magnitude of what Jesus was about to endure. Their faith was being shaken, their feelings in complete disarray. And Jesus' departure time was arriving. But Jesus said, don't lose heart. Help is on the way. The disciples' hearts were insensitive to Christ's guidance, that there was an inward focus on themselves. In fact, each disciple wrestled with that inward tension because of the sorrow over Christ's upcoming departure and the reality and dismay over the prophecy that there was a traitor among them. And that there's a prediction of their own desertion, that they would scatter. Jesus spoke power into that moment. Look at verse 13. He says, "But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come." Think about this. The disciples were struggling in their faith. They really were. And Jesus knew this. And for many of us today, we connect with this. We identify with that inward tension, that wrestling. Yet Jesus was affirming that the Spirit of truth's arrival is to assist them, to dwell in them, to guide them into trusting God in the now and in the future. That God is in control in spite of circumstance. To fully rely on God's guidance, that nothing goes to waste. That God meets us where we are, here in the now and in the future and what is to come. So which begs the question, why? Why care about this? Why would the disciples need the Spirit of truth to guide them? They just spent this time with Jesus, the personal touch of his ministry, to heal the sick, to make the lame walk. Why is this so significant as a follower of Christ? Well, think about this. A newborn baby, that baby's total dependence on the parents nurturing its development into maturity. The time, the attention, the care, the correction, right? Of the upbringing, that personal touch, the love. Love watching new parents of their firstborn, holding their infant, speaking, "Hey baby, how you doing?" You know that feeling, you just observe and appreciate human life. The fact that God created us, he created you. And that we appreciate the fact that it is that kind of time and care that God extends to us. As a born-again believer, the spiritual nourishment needed to sustain us to develop a Christ-likeness in each of our lives, that is a better understanding of God's word, that he is patient with you and I, and wherever we're at in our spiritual thread. God is loving in a daily process of maturing in faith, that a baby wouldn't survive in complete isolation. This is not God's plan. The same for believers. We grow, we are sustained in our walk with God, and we are completely dependent on Christ, the Spirit of truth pointing us to Christ. This is God's plan. This is the Spirit of truth's role in our lives as followers of Jesus. And if this is what the Spirit of truth does, the other question is, what other role does he take on? Well, he's a person. He's the third person of the Godhead, working to glorify the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has knowledge from God, not apart from his own, as we see in the scriptures today. He teaches only what he hears from the Father, which gives us confidence, assurance. He's a person. He has feeling. He has feeling like he did in Isaiah chapter 63, verse 10, when the Holy Spirit was what? He was grieved at the disobedience of God's people. But yet God was merciful and he was just with them, just like he's merciful and just with you and I. The Spirit of truth has a will. He has a will and does what he wills according to the fruit of the Spirit, the spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:11. He wills to each one these spiritual gifts individually to empower. Why? For the work of the ministry, to equip us for the glory and the majesty and the magnification of his name, to bring glory to Christ. He does this for the good. Listen, he does this for the edification of the church. That's why it's important that you and I are here in a local body, the body of Christ, Blue Valley Baptist Church, that we fellowship in his name, that we give recognition to who he is, the person, the worth, and the work of Christ, the finished work of the cross. You and I share in that as believers to declare the riches of God, the kindness and mercy that he's extended to you and to me, to a lost and dying world. They too may know Christ, that they would turn from sin and turn to Christ. That is our goal. That is why we strive. And there is edification that takes place in the body of Christ. And the Spirit of truth shows us what we are incapable of figuring out for ourselves. The disciples felt the same, knowing that Jesus would be leaving them. I like what was penned by author Charles Haddon Spurgeon in his book on the Holy Spirit, where he says this, that Jesus sends us another teacher, and he shall be the person who is to explain Scripture, that he shall be the authoritative guide of God, who shall make all dark things light, who shall unravel mysteries, who shall untwist all knots of revelation, and shall make you understand what you could not discover had it not been for his influence. So how do we line up, church family? Do people see the light of Christ in our lives? What about those close-knit relationships that we have? Do we speak of faith in Christ or fear of the what if? I know I identify with that at times. And God continues to display patience and kindness, even through that fear. Jesus said, "Fear not, for behold, I am with you." What a promise. What a comfort. In fact, in our communities, do our neighbors know our love for Christ? Do they know it? Not just by what we say, but what we do. As an expression of God's kindness and love, when people look at us, do they see a reflection of Christ? Or do they see a reflection of something or someone else? See, the disciples wrestled with this kind of stuff in the same way. During Jesus' ministry, there were times where they tried to keep people at arm's length. No, you can't spend time with Jesus. This is my time with Jesus. We're his entourage. No. Jesus said, no, let him come. Let him come. And Jesus did amazing things. Not to astonish them, not to make them go, oh, but he did it for the glory of who? The Father. What does God want to do in your life and my life? He wants to bring glory to the Father through you and through me. The Spirit of truth is at work. I have to think about the Walmart door greeter. What about him or her? And I say, hello, how you doing? Hey, what about them? Do they notice that you notice them? Because what if one day they say, hey, you, come here. I've been noticing that you've been noticing me, and I noticed that. Why? What do you do with that? What if God gives you that opportunity? What would you say? How would you approach them and say, you know what? Maybe you might say, well, you know, I'm a follower of Christ, and I just want to be an extension of God's kindness and love to you today because I recognize you. You are a person. You are a human being created in God's image and likeness. I mean, what a moment that would be. Is our attention on others, or is it inward? How do we focus our attention for the gospel of Christ, the declaration of his name? Because people will notice, they will pick up on it, and they'll think, you're different. What's up? What's going on? There's your opportunity. And guess what? God uses that. Nothing goes to waste with God. And so as the disciples wrestled, as the disciples doubted at times, the Spirit of truth that Jesus said he desires to use us when our hearts are aligned with a genuine love for Christ. And when this happens, it lifts up the church to grow in love for God and for others. And one way we show that here at BVBC in our weekly ministries is that serving God and people is based on biblical principles that are guided by who? The Spirit of truth. That's our goal. He's the one that we look to. And did you know, according to the scriptures today, that the Spirit of truth has empowered us to serve God and people through the power of Christ? Isn't that wonderful to know? That means when you and I have an opportunity to give an answer for the hope that we have, I sure hope when someone says, so what makes you so different, huh? What's going on with you? That you wouldn't be like, I'm a member at Blue Valley Baptist Church, or I'm an SBC member for 50, whatever it might be. No, that you would say what we're learning here today. Well, interesting you would ask that question. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Huh? Why? Why would you? And that gives you an opportunity to share the hope of pointing to who? Christ. Now, when someone asks you, so where do you fellowship? Where do you go to church? That's an opportunity for you. You could say, well, I worship at Blue Valley Baptist Church. That's easy. But it's the person and work of Christ. When you give declaration to him, the Spirit of God is at work in you, through you, in that moment, dispelling the darkness, that the light of Christ is illuminating what we're learning together today. So think about the hope that you have and how you respond to people. You never know. Through your testimony, that person may say, you know what? I think what you're telling me is you got something there. I think I want to come with you. Where's your church? And they may come with you. Take the opportunity and see what God does with that. And let them know, hey, God loves them. God has a purpose for their life. That is so essential. And right here, this is who the Spirit of truth is who? He glorifies the Son. That's number two. That the Spirit of truth glorifies the Son of God in these last two verses, verses 14 and 15. The Holy Spirit works to glorify Christ, yet so many who emphasize the Holy Spirit seem to draw attention to themselves. The what about me moment. Signs, gifts, prophecy. In the New Testament Corinthian books, the church at Corinth was notorious for this. They're so focused and funnel down to the sign gifts that they were forgetting about others. The work of the gospel, the ministry. I love it how author, speaker Francis Chan penned in his book, Forgotten God. He writes that the church became chaotic because individuals were no longer concerned with the betterment of the church. They were trying to use manifestations of the Spirit for their own glory. Wow. The disciples in the same way were wrestling with that. And look at verse 14. Jesus said to them, "He, the Spirit of truth, will glorify me, being Jesus, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Isn't it wonderful to know today, church, that this word of God, these 66 books are alive and well? They're speaking life, they're speaking hope, they're speaking correction, they're speaking encouragement. Because why? For Christ's likeness to manifest and to take place. So when people look at you, they see Christ and not you. Amen? That we are illuminating, that we're seeing the word of God illuminated through the Spirit of God. See, the Corinthian followers of Christ were disinterested in what God was doing in others. They just wanted to show off what God was doing in them. And this is where people pleasing and pleasing God collide. Our spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26:41. Often we tend to identify with camps of personality, holding to certain opinions and interests. And what if we take this passage serious? What if we take this passage outside these walls and start hearing, feeling, sensing the Spirit's nudging, that we actually stop, that we listen and act in faith? Because if we don't listen and act, we begin to callous, listen, we begin to callous our ability to discern. We callous the ability to discern the Spirit's of truth leading. Look at verse 15. Jesus said, "All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Church, our adversary, the devil, would enjoy causing havoc in our church family, fostering a lack of faith, disbelief, proposing reasonable doubt instead of Christ-following faith, to uplift the name of Christ, to encourage one another. Satan camps around discouragement, seeking who he may devour. But guess what? As a follower of Christ, you bear the seal, you bear the mark of the indwelling Spirit of God. And even though the enemy runs rampant, we have the confidence of Christ before us, in us, and through us to overcome. Why? Because Jesus said, "I have overcome the world." That gives us great hope. That gives us that Christ-following faith. And often we sit in the sandbox of good ideas, but rarely do we experience the seashore of God ideas. What do I mean by that? Well, when Rebecca and I married over 16 years ago, we traveled to Santa Barbara, California for a honeymoon. 5 days of West Coast culture, food, and walking the beach. We even did this tandem parasailing over the Pacific Ocean, where we went up from this boat and just had this beautiful picture view from up high to see everything. I was like, wow, the beauty of God's creation. And as they reeled us back in, we were just 50 yards or so from a whale sighting to see the creation of God up and out of the ocean like that. It's like, what just happened? I'll never forget that. What a special time to go and experience that in that way. Can you imagine if Rebecca and I made all those plans to go to Santa Barbara? We had shown up the beach that day, just dragging behind us a plastic sandbox, filling it with the beach sand, getting our little plastic buckets and shovels ready. And then we nestled down in that sand, just started playing. What if we started doing that, building a little sandcastle, yet looking out at the majesty of God's creation, offering us to walk the seashore of God ideas? That would be absolutely ridiculous if we sat in that box. I mean, does the seashore have danger? Sure it does. Is it risky to walk barefoot in fear of stepping on something sharp or alive? Yeah. Is it safer to sit in that sandbox? Probably. Would we have experienced the seashore by sitting in that sandbox? No. We could all pack up and easily go down to Shawnee Mission Park's beachfront just to catch a glimpse that sandy beach and say, "Hey, that's a pretty good idea. That's pretty awesome." But how much greater would it be to prepare, to listen to the travel plans, to go and experience together the beachfront of the Pacific Ocean? I mean, that would be awesome, right? I mean, so it is with the Spirit of truth bringing glory to the Son in our lives as we trust his plan, his purpose, and that is to bring glory to the Son. Could you imagine? Wouldn't that be great? Well, guess what? God's inviting us to walk along his God-sized seashore, to know that he's in control. He's given you a plan. He's given you a purpose to follow him, to trust him. That in our actions and attitude that it might be different from the world. Recognizing there's a difference between just coming to church and then actually being the church. Both are absolutely necessary here inside as well as outside. These are not an option. These aren't just a checkbox, right? These are things that we do. They are essential to understanding the Spirit of Truth's work personally and in the body of Christ. God has called you to be here, to serve here, to plug in here, so that you would grow and blossom and mature in faith in Christ's likeness, so that you, when you know how to go out into the world that's lost, that's dark, that's dying, that you would be able to deliver the hope of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because you have a testimony. If you're a follower of Christ, you have a testimony of how you've been saved, redeemed through Jesus Christ and him alone. And there's no shame. It's being not ashamed. And that's where we find absolute comfort, to know that we depend on the Spirit of Truth to grow our faith as we trust the Word of God and apply the Word of God. The Spirit worked in the apostles' minds so they could perceive, that they could understand, and they could teach about the Savior. And think about this. These New Testament books that we've been diving into, listen, they are the fulfillment of this teaching ministry of the Spirit. That means there is no new truth outside of God's revealed truth in Scripture. This is so essential. Why? Because cults have a problem with that. They have a problem with this teaching because they embrace what's called new revelation, outside of God's revelation. But guess what? We have God's revealed word, all 66 books, to declare the majesty and praise of Christ, the one who is high and lifted up, that we can have confidence in Jesus, that the key here is Jesus, that he is the word, that the Spirit of Truth will not contradict the word, that we can have full assurance, that he teaches us to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, to combat those things that infiltrate, those things that just eat at us on the outside, that God gives us the confidence, the comfort. When I think about devotional books, those are a great spark. They're great, diving into a solid devotional book. But never should that replace our time with the Spirit of God. Diving in to your copy of God's Word, and however you find time to be alone with God, do that. And if you're experiencing a stale Christian life right now, take a moment, step back, reflect, evaluate the audible and the written things that you've immersed yourself in. Maybe there's just a lack of awareness because of the day-to-day grind. And that's why it's so important that you're plugged into a church family, especially here at Blue Valley Baptist, because it's the nurturing aspect of maturing and growing together in knowledge and faith in Christ. Jesus was patient with his disciples. He's patient with us. And wherever you might be, immerse yourself back into God's word. Align yourself back up with an authentic and genuine love for Christ. He is loving and caring for us in ways that we don't even know. But when we give worth and we give declaration through prayer, God reminds us of his goodness and his kindness. This affects our relationship with God. It affects our relationship with one another. And this is why aligning ourselves is crucial, okay? It overcomes everything else in this world. And just like we saw in the earlier service, it was the verse of John 16:33, where it was posted that Jesus has overcome the world. And we see that in God's word, that our focus must be on Christ. And so we need to remember that what the Father has, Jesus has. To never forget that he, Christ, is greater than I. That we trust the Spirit of Truth to guide us and to bring glory to the Son. So remember to trust and to lean on the Spirit of Truth's guidance. Nothing goes to waste. Think about that. All of our mistakes, all of our fails, all those shortcomings that you and I, we all internalize, we wrestle with, none of that goes to waste with God. You're not here by accident. It is important that we understand that God is at work, and the Spirit of Truth will always bring glory to the Son. Always. I challenge you this week to start prayer every morning. Whenever you wake up, I challenge you just to start this week. You open your eyes, Lord, just pray, Lord, help me with today. Help me to have your wisdom. God, just guide my heart. You know, something simple. Just start somewhere. And maybe if it's not there, maybe you take it as you're getting ready. Maybe it's just walking through your house with a song in your heart. Maybe something from this morning grabs your attention. Just resonate that in your thoughts. I challenge you this week to do that. Maybe you've just been so crazy busy, you just need to cancel everything and just go back to bed. Okay? Maybe you just need to go get a nap. You know, one of the most spiritual things you can do is get a nap and just rest in the goodness and mercy of God and saying, God, there's so much happening this week. God, I just trust you and I lean on you. Go to sleep, right? I mean, just take that nap that you need, but rest and know that God is in control. To be still, to know that he is God. And where you are, he is there with you. Talk to him. Trust the Spirit of truth. Reveal your heart to him. You have nothing to lose. The Father has given everything to the Son, and the Spirit of truth is willing to declare God's plan to you as you surrender and follow him.